It's time for a more in-depth look at today's news. It's time to find out who's pulling the strings. It's time for the Behind the Curtain podcast with your host, author Jeff Reynolds.
Hi, I'm author Jeff Reynolds, and this is episode 24 of the Behind the Curtain podcast. Before we begin, I want to remind you to check out my new website, www.jeffreyreynolds.net. He's spelled Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-E-R-Y. This is where you'll find all of my content from all the different platforms where my articles can be read. Also, I want to ask you a favor. When you go to jeffreyreynolds.net, please sign up for my newsletter. I won't spam you, and I'll send out a couple of emails a month tops. This allows me to keep you updated on all of the cool new stuff I'm doing in 2020. I made it really easy, too. Just go to the website and click on the link at the top that says subscribe to our newsletter. I'm only doing one interview this week, but it's a doozy. This week I talked to Lindsey Graham, not the senator, but the salon owner in Salem who defied Kate Brown's shutdown orders and reopened her salon. I've written a few articles about Lindsey for PJ Media, including how the state sicked Child Protective Services on her in an attempt to bully her into compliance. Lindsey gave me an update on all that's been going on, her proposed lawsuit against the state of Oregon, and her new foundation. It's a 501c3 called the Glamour Institute for Freedom. This is a power-packed half hour that you won't want to miss. I'll do a quick second segment updating you on all the projects I've been involved in. I've been producing a lot of content lately on a bunch of different platforms, so I'll just give a quick rundown. Don't forget to subscribe to the Behind the Curtain podcast wherever you listen to it, and please leave a positive rating. The more subscribers and the better ratings, the higher Behind the Curtain will rank on podcast services like Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, among many others. Stick around to the very end so you can hear the full version of I Am America, the theme song, by my buddy Brian Futch. Hey, did you know I wrote a book? It's called Behind the Curtain, Inside the Network of Progressive Billionaires and Their Campaign to Undermine Democracy. It's an examination of the dark money on the left that continues to fuel the worst of the swamp creatures in Washington, D.C. There's a real appetite out there for folks to learn about who's pulling the strings on the left and what their ultimate goals are. I've done several speaking engagements over the past several months, and I'm looking for more. If you know of any conservative clubs, Republican groups, Tea Party, or 912 clubs, or anybody else that would get something out of following the dark money on the left, please email me at jeff@jeffreyreynolds.net. Search for Behind the Curtain, Inside the Network of Progressive Billionaires and Their Campaign to Undermine Democracy in stores or online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Simon & Schuster. It's available in hardback, Kindle, or Nook now. Check out whoownsthedems.com for more information. Lindsey Graham, I'm here with you in your salon. It's open and ready for business, and yep. Sounds like you have a full day ahead of you for appointments and just back to business, back to normal life, huh?
Yes, it is. We've got almost all of our stylists back. I believe we're operating at 10 to 12 artists in this space now. Wow. Per day. It's still very, very spread out, though, because we are in individual suites, so each mm-hmm. stylist has her own room with her client.
Okay.
And we have, I believe, around 20 suites, and still 4,000 square feet. So even wow. though we've got a lot more people operating, we're still pretty spaced out, but yeah.
I didn't realize it was that big an operation.
Yeah, it's big, yeah. It feels like we are just, you know, in our normal, happy, lively operations again.
So outstanding. Yeah. You told me earlier when I talked to you for the last article I wrote that you had something like 25 contractors or stylists.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're not quite back to full capacity yet, right?
Correct. Yeah. A lot of people are still getting their, you know, PPE and their guidelines still set up, and they'll be back next week. And even then, not all 25 people work the same schedule. Everyone sets their own schedule. So on Monday, there could be 3 girls here, and on Saturday, there could be 20.
But right.
Usually, there's around 10 people, you know, in the salon at a time operating.
And I was circling around the block here trying to find a parking spot, and there are plenty of parking spots, and it really struck me how dead mm-hmm. downtown is. It's really sad to see.
There's a lot of salons downtown, and so we're going to start seeing more of an influx of people in downtown doing that.
Okay.
And then some of the coffee shops are operating still to go and take mm-hmm. out, things like that.
But there's no business people downtown.
No, the offices are still closed. They're making people work from home. A lot of the retail stores are just operating at a minimum capacity, so it still doesn't quite feel normal down here.
Yeah, yeah. So have you heard of other salons that are actually going to start opening up as well?
Yes, I believe as soon as we were told we could open up, most salons rushed right in to get their clients in.
Okay, so you were actually told, this is an update from the last time I spoke to you.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So you were told you could open up by?
Last week, they announced that Marion County Phase 1 would start on Friday. Last Friday. So on Friday,
gotcha.
We became official and allowed, as per the governor, to open up.
So that's a change from the previous week when Marion County had their application rejected to enter Phase 1.
Yes.
Which seemed a little bit arbitrary.
And dramatic at that. Because, I mean, we had Marion County and Polk County had the most cases, but the numbers were still so insanely drastically low and so much lower than other states that weren't even on lockdown that it still made the whole, you know, shutdown ridiculous.
And making matters even worse, in Polk County, almost all the cases were at one senior living facility. Mm-hmm. And in Marion County, almost all the cases were at a prison.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's the point of shutting down business when you've got it all isolated in one closed location?
Right. Unless, of course, they're going to continue to release those prisoners and they're going to come do business with us.
Fair enough. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
You reserve the right to refuse service to anybody,
I
right?
Yes, I do. Yep, I do. It's hard to pick them out, though.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It created a whole other problem, too, is I had stylists that were getting a little worried about their licenses being revoked because we had our licenses threatened by the licensing office. So I had three stylists say, okay, that's it. I got to call it. I'm going to go rent a station in Albany who got opened up for the day. And take my clients down there for the day. And they did that by the day.
Wow.
And that was just to protect themselves, which I totally don't blame them. The last thing we needed was our licenses revoked.
Right.
And so it created a monstrosity of people flocking to these other regions that did get open.
Right.
And
even
clients,
though Governor Brown said, don't go to open
counties. Don't do it.
Counties.
Yeah. You can't stop people from doing that.
She said she wasn't going to enforce it, but still, come on.
How can you enforce that? Yeah, you can't stop every car on the freeway and say, where are you coming from and where are you
papers,
going?
Papers, please.
And I'm going to go get my hair done in Albany. And that's illegal. And like, how dramatic are we going to get about this?
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you can see me. I haven't had a haircut since February. So,
and
I've got my COVID beard going. And I'm like, yeah, what's the point?
You know? Yeah, yeah, no one's seeing me anyway.
But so let's get an update on all the stuff because we talked about OSHA coming in, we talked about the licensing board threatening licenses, and we talked about CPS. What's the latest on the CPS report?
The latest on the CPS is that we filed, we gave them what's called a tort claim, which is letting them know that at some point we are going to take legal action against Kate Brown, the state, CPS, OSHA, health licensing, all as one, you know, you have all collaborated together.
They're all going to be on the same complaint as defendants.
For harassment and bullying and government overreach. And, you know, we haven't nailed down everything that we can go after them for, but basically essentially violating my civil rights.
Absolutely.
As I opened my door, I became a target for the state. And here's all the different ways you came at me. After we filed that tort claim and I made it public record, CPS magically closed their case the next day.
Yes, because that was the weird part is that they left that report open despite it not having any basis in fact.
Exactly. And we have found out more information regarding that report that further reiterates that report never should have gone through and I never should have been visited.
Okay.
And that's all probably gonna come out in court. We can't say too much, but
understandable.
We have access to documents showing that report was pushed through intentionally.
That's a good strategy to file the claim and then you have discovery rights.
Right.
So you have the ability to examine all of their documents that they used to create these reports or to target you through OSHA and those kinds of things.
Yes, yeah. And I'm sure more documents will come to light as this, you know, case continues. People
and this
have
is just
come
one
forward.
Case.
This is just one case. Yeah. So this is just CPS.
Yeah.
And we've had a few documents get pushed our way, but so they closed the case. Unfortunately, that doesn't mean anything to me. I still went through what I went through.
Yeah.
My children still went through that.
Absolutely.
And there is now a permanent mark on my record that I had a child welfare check.
Right.
So and that'll never be taken away unless we can get that removed in court. But now, anytime anyone. Just doesn't like me and decides to file a false claim, which is exactly what this last one was. it's going to show that I have a record for child welfare.
Now you've got a pattern or a repeated behavior.
And so they're more likely to investigate me.
Yep.
So it's going to change my life forever. So that's not okay. That opening my salon and trying to work for a living has now created, you know, a lifelong mark on my record.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Talk about some of the other emotional things you've gone through because of all this. I mean, you took a pretty big stand against mm-hmm. the entire weight of the state government, and you've had to deal with all kind. I mean, the excitement of opening and the fear of being targeted, and talk about what you've gone through.
I hate. You know, to play the victim, because, you know, I did make the choice that I made to stand up and do it publicly. It's been pretty emotional for my entire family. My husband's had to really pick up slack at home while I'm trying to fight this fight on behalf of all small business owners across America. And that's a big role to play. And with that came a lot of scrutiny on social media, a lot of hate, a lot of name calling, a lot of just personal attacks on me, my looks, my family, how I conduct myself, who I am, from people who don't know who I am.
Right.
I don't appreciate that at all. I've always been a very straightforward, straight shooter, very honest person to everybody I meet. And now I feel as though people who don't know what they're talking about or who hear something now suddenly reserve the right to decide who I am and judge me based on, you know, rumors, fake facts, social media posts. That's
and the judgmental, Twitter, the Twitter mob is insane, right?
Yes.
So, you get a lot of judgmental stuff about who do you think you are, killing grandma and all that kind of stuff.
I'm a murderer. And that argument is laughable all on its own, because I will not sit here and argue with you about me doing hair one-on-one, five people a day is more dangerous or even equal to as dangerous as Walmart or Costco.
Yeah.
I'm not even gonna have that argue with me.
Right.
If you think that's comparable, that it's okay to go to Costco and those people aren't killing grandma, I will not sit here and argue with stupidity. I will not. And a lot of that has been interesting too. I have a public figure page now, which I never would have thought I should have. And I do it to protect my personal life, but people, you know, love to get on there and say what they want to say and bash me and harass me, and I just delete them and ban them.
Sure.
And then they start saying, "Oh, she's deleting people and banning people." Well, absolutely, I am.
Did you see how you behave?
Yeah, you're attacking me and you don't know me. So yes, I'm sorry that I'm not going to welcome you with open arms into my life. And I have no qualms about deleting and banning people who want to tell me how to live or tell me how I should handle this. And there's even people telling me how I need to handle the GoFundMe money, which is going into a nonprofit organization.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's kind of a new thing you're ready to announce.
Yeah, so that was officially filed yesterday.
Okay.
It's called Glamour Institute for Freedom.
All right.
It's a 501c3, and it is a nonprofit organization. We just laid out the bylaws, which is that the main purpose of the nonprofit is to assist other small businesses in a legal fight that prevents the government overreach, prevents, you know, taxes being enforced on small businesses, new laws that are being pushed in that'll affect small businesses.
And oh, by the way, have you seen what the Oregon Health Authority is doing? They put out an order basically giving themselves the authority to write laws with the force of law and to impose civil penalties of $500 per occurrence per either business or individual.
Yep.
It's insane.
Class C misdemeanor. They're giving themselves that right since the police have said that they will not enforce this because it's unconstitutional.
They're
saying the health licensing office can do it.
Right.
I don't know how the health licensing office can issue a misdemeanor, but that's
so this is through the licensing division that does your licensing as well.
And it went out.
So that's different from the Oregon Health Authority that I'm talking about.
So the Oregon Health Authority issued that statement through the health licensing office.
Oh, okay.
Who they're like a sub, you know, organization. It's anyone that holds a license, massage therapists, respiratory therapists, stylists, nail techs. I'm sure the list goes on and on. If you require a license to do your business, a health license, they're now saying if the governor ever decides she wants to call a shutdown again and you operate, now we have the authority to come in and issue you a violation of code of conduct, unprofessional conduct. And if we issue that citation, these are the penalties. And they include fines, revoking your license, Class C misdemeanor, I mean, they reserve the right to fine you up to $500,000 per incident, or $50,000, something dramatic.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. And I go back, I remember back, I first got started in politics in the Tea Party movement in 2009, 2010, and that's when we were debating Obamacare. And we, at the legislature, at the state level, they were debating whether to expand Medicaid. And through this whole process, there were 10 or 12 different bills in 2010. And one of them was to create the Oregon Health Authority. Never in a million years was this even contemplated as a function of the Oregon Health Authority. This is such a mission creep, and this is why creating these state bureaucracies is such a dangerous thing, because they always expand their own power and expand what they're they think they're able to do.
Right, right. I've been told just within the last week that the Health Licensing Office is calling meetings with the Department of Revenue to discuss my situation. And I'm going, how does the Health Licensing Office have anything to do with the Department of Revenue? And it all goes back to them still trying to claim that these independent contractors are employees.
Right.
But what in the world are you two conversing about?
Well, it's a revenue scheme, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and they're desperate for revenue right now because they shut down the economy.
Yes.
And now they don't have 20% of the tax revenue that they thought they
Let's
were going
to
have.
Let's see if we can find Lindsey Graham to make up for all that.
Yeah, or make a point, right?
Right, exactly, yeah.
They've certainly made an
overreach.
Example.
Yes, oh yeah, they tried. I never did shut down, though, if you notice.
Yeah, absolutely.
They threatened me quite a bit. Never did shut me down.
Yeah, it's insane what they're doing. So tell me more about what you're going to try to do with that how that's going to all operate. Because you set up a GoFundMe, right?
And someone set up a GoFundMe.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. And then they put it in my name because everyone wanted to make sure if they were donating, it actually went to me.
Yeah. This was to fight back against the original
citation.
The threat of $70,000 in fines.
Yes, which I never did get.
Yeah.
But that didn't stop people from donating. I'm not going to tell people to stop donating, but they did it anyway.
Yeah.
So three GoFundMes had been set up. Two by other people and one by myself, because my attorney said, look, people are, they're nasty and hateful. They're trying to get it shut down. So I would create a third one just to be safe.
Yep. Just
and
have it on file.
Yep. And they never did shut it down.
Okay. That's surprising.
Rightfully
we've seen we've seen that happen before.
Yes. Yeah. Rightfully so. It's because I'm not doing anything illegal.
Right.
So you cannot shut down a GoFundMe. That's not feeding me something illegal. But all of the money from that GoFundMe, minus what I've spent on legal fees already, which I have. I've retained two attorneys, my OSHA attorney and my constitutional attorney.
Okay.
So minus those legal fees that my family has already spent, all of the GoFundMe money is going into the nonprofit, all of
awesome.
It. So, and everything that's donated from this point forward as well.
So if a business hears of your foundation, or if you hear of a business, you reach out to them and say, hey, we can provide financial assistance for your legal fees kind of thing.
Kind of, that's the goal, yeah. So the first goal is my personal lawsuit against the state, which if it succeeds, will set precedence. That
sure.
If a business opens against a mandate, you cannot attack them and go after them. You can't come after their kids.
Right.
You can't threaten their license. It's our civil right. It's our human right to earn a living and open our businesses. And it's our right not to go bankrupt because Kate Brown says so. And so...
Well, and the other aspect of these orders is that none of them are legal.
None of them are legal.
Yeah.
So there's a whole constitutional argument that this never should have happened.
And a statutory argument too, because she doesn't have the power to do any of these things, because her emergency order lasts 28 days, and everything after that should be invalid. That's the Baker County judge.
We're waiting on that. June 2nd, we'll find out about that. If that goes through, then we will have justice served for sure.
Yeah.
And that will nullify almost everything I went through.
Yeah.
So, which would be great. That doesn't change, you know, my case, which is harassment and bullying and being targeted. But if I set that precedent with this case, then that means that moving forward, small businesses will never have to go through this again.
Yeah.
The governors will understand that we will go after them if they do.
Yeah.
And you cannot shut us down the way you have. And I need people to understand that that's where, right now, most of the GoFundMe, which is going to the nonprofit, that's where that money is going to go to fight that case, which will basically say, for the rest of your life, this cannot happen to you again.
Yeah.
You've heard the old saying, give a man a fish, he eats for a day, teach him to fish. I'm trying to teach people to fish.
Teach
with
people
this lawsuit.
You're teaching people to liberty.
If I just take the 80 grand that the GoFundMe's made and just give them to small businesses that need it, I survived them for a month, or I got them out of the debt that they never should have been in.
Right,
or
you
I
can pay their back rent.
Bankruptcy.
Or, yeah, yeah.
But if I file this case and I use that money to file a case that makes sure it sets precedence, mm-hmm. then they never have to worry about being shut down again.
That's
that is way more important. That is something that will affect us, that will affect their kids, that will affect their kids' kids,
and
it'll affect America.
Hopefully in this process, this bogus OSHA claim that you have employees and not contractors mm-hmm. will set precedent as well, because this is all part of a larger movement. Right. I'm sure you're aware that independent contract work has been targeted by the progressive left as being, you know, exploitative or whatever,
right.
when it's really just, you know, I can work when I want, when I feel like it, because
yes.
I'm a free American. But, you know, they want to classify everybody as employees, do minimum wage,
mm-hmm.
force employers to give benefits when they're not due,
yeah.
all that kind of stuff.
Force,
so that's
yeah.
that's part of all of this.
Yep, they want to. If they do that, they force employers to pay more payroll taxes
yep.
and provide benefits, which is going to kill some small businesses. Kill
a lot of
them.
Small
it's just
businesses.
Another way. Yeah.
yeah.
And so, yeah, it is. It's another agenda. If OSHA can get this passed through, that these are employees, it's going to ruin the salon industry
yeah.
for 90% of
right.
the salon industry. We are all going to be going to minimum wage, commission-based, supercuts, perfect look. That's all. Those are the only businesses that can survive.
Right.
And you will not have high-end salons. You will not have multifaceted spa salons. You will not.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a very different way of operating.
The business model doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Nope. And
yeah.
a lot of stylists, they get the license, they do the training, they build their business the way they want to, so that they can be a small business owner. They
yeah.
don't want to be employed. I don't want to be employed.
Yeah.
And so taking that away from them, their ability to create their own mini business in a space, and making them an employee, that, I mean, that's a different career entirely.
I mean, they're trying to do that with Uber drivers, you know, gig workers, Airbnb owners, the whole thing.
That's
insane. It's the same exact effort. And it's really, if you think about it, from a macroeconomic standpoint, it's a monopoly protection racket. It's a big business protection
mm-hmm.
racket where an individual like you that wants to be an entrepreneur just simply can't.
Right, and we haven't even touched on like construction workers. Those
sure.
are all independent contractors.
Yep.
If you're a painter, an electrician, a floor guy, someone builds a home or a business, they hire you out independently.
Mm-hmm.
Now those people are all going to be employed.
So you have it would be the largest construction firms, none of the
right.
mom and pop stuff.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
All the small business owners are going to
yeah.
suffer.
Never mind me as a homeowner. I need my roof done. You know, I want to hire a roofing company, and it would probably triple the cost
it
to
wouldn't.
Get it done.
Yep. Because now the person employing that roofer has to pay employer taxes on them, and
mm-hmm.
like you said, benefits on them.
So
now sending
and,
them
yeah.
out to do that job, which they probably got paid more for being an independent contractor, is going to cost the business more money. So it's now going to cost the consumer more money.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, this is so stressful. What are they trying to do to us?
Well,
I can't even imagine a world where the government just has this much control over us.
It, and that's what it is. That's what they
it's
want,
scary.
Right? You give them a little bit and they want more and more
yep.
and more.
So
yeah, that's exactly what
this is what my nonprofit is going to do.
Yeah.
It's going to prevent this crap right here.
Yep.
Yep. That's what I'm going to do.
Good deal. All right. So next steps. What's next for Lindsay and the salon mm. And the foundation? And
well, I don't know.
Court dates
court date. The OSHA court date is coming up. It's not set yet, so
okay.
that'll be that. I'm not stressed about that. My attorney is very confident we're going to get it overthrown.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the next steps are because I never pictured this being even where it is now. I never actually, just if you can believe this and if the listeners can believe this, I actually never intended to go public with my opening.
Yeah.
It was an accident. I don't know if I told you that. I posted in a Facebook group that I was going to open my salon and, hey, would you guys support me? Would you come down in numbers if I needed you?
Yeah.
And the post got shared and shared and shared. And it made it to Salem. It got shared more than 70 times.
Wow.
And then the news started calling me and I went, oh, what have I done?
Yeah,
what
I
have
just
I
stepped
done?
Into it.
And then that was just, I mean, that was just local news, okay?
Yeah.
Big deal. Channel 12, Channel 2. It went national when Kate Brown pushed CPS through.
Right.
That she did that to herself.
Yep.
She did that to me.
Well,
she made me national news.
I told you about the article I wrote. I mean, it was the top article on PJ Media for a couple of days. I mean, it
wow.
was just, it was huge.
Yep,
so,
it was
yeah.
huge. That went huge. And I was even not sure about announcing that. My attorney said, you've got to announce that. That's the ultimate threat, the ultimate bully. I said, all right, well, I guess I'll, okay.
I mean,
I'll
let you know. You're stepping out in public. That's intimidating. Yes. And you've got all kinds of consequences for that, right?
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, when people know the full extent to which Kate Brown is trying to bully you, mm-hmm. Lindsey Graham, individually, that's when people really were like, oh, this is crap.
We
can't put up with this anymore.
Yes. And that's also when, you know, Shelley Luther, she is the Texas stylist that
owned
her salon. She went to jail.
Yep.
That's when her story went national, too.
Yeah.
When you impose penalties on someone for just trying to earn a living that are that extreme, you bet it's going to be national news.
Yep.
So for her, it was going to jail. For me, it was the threat of my children being taken away.
Right.
I mean, those are two very dramatic things. And she started a nonprofit as well, Courage to Stand.
Yeah. Good.
And so we are fighting the same fight, and we hope to join forces.
Have you had a chance to speak to her at all?
Yes. Yeah? I spent an hour on the phone with her a couple days ago, and she is a fantastic person.
Yeah. I saw somebody in an article refer to her as the Rosa Parks of the Liberty Movement.
I can see that. Yep. And she's very down to earth. She's very straightforward about her platform and her goals and what she believes in. And you cannot fault her for that. She's the bravest person I know. So,
yeah. Well, you're right up there. So.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I'd love to be compared to Shelley Luther.
Yeah. And, I mean, you guys are standing up for small business all over the nation and standing up against draconian orders that don't make any sense, aren't based in science, don't have any consistency, and aren't legal.
Yep. And there are more things coming about that need to be fought for, too, besides the fight that they shut us down and they never had the right to constitutionally. But the contact tracing that, people that the government's trying to implement, as well as the requirements for schools, for children.
Yeah.
As a father of school-age kids, oh my gosh.
It's crazy what's coming down.
Yeah. So she's big into targeting those issues too.
Good.
Which really need to be targeted.
I just wrote an article yesterday about a poll that showed that 6 in 10 parents are likely not to send their kids back to school, and 30% of them are very likely not to. And 1 in 5 teachers is not going to come back in the fall.
And that's because of the PPE requirements or because of...
Just because it's become too hard.
Oh, my gosh.
And they've been... I mean, the teachers have been under stress. My kids are...
They're underpaid already.
Right. And they've had... It's so much more work to do all this technology and put the lessons together. The same lesson that took my daughter, who's in fourth grade, took her half an hour to do in school, in the structured environment, now takes her 3 hours. And it's partly because I'm still working and I can't be there to be the teacher.
This is not the way
also,
it was meant to be.
Yeah. No, that's
not
exactly
everyone was meant to homeschool their children.
Yeah.
I know I'm not. And there's a reason I didn't go to school to be a teacher.
Yeah.
I'm not a teacher. I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
And to take a job that people did not go to school for, get educated for, have any even like tutorials on how to, you know, educate their children about things that we haven't been educated about for 25 years.
Well, I'll tell
math
you that
math is not the same.
Yeah, that's
and we're
that's
supposed to teach our children
true.
That. That's
well, I if I ever homeschool, I don't think I'd opt for Common Core. But
no. If I have to homeschool, I might need to hire a teaching assistant.
There you go. See, you're creating jobs again.
Yeah, see,
that's what
yes,
you do.
I am. That's right.
So, one last question about the other locations you have. You have a couple of tanning salons, a couple of gyms.
Yes,
and all of that stuff. When are those going to be opened up?
So because three of our tanning salons are in Marion County, and so is our gym. They were freed, if you will, to open on Friday. So the gym
How benevolent
opened
of them.
Yeah. Our gym opened yesterday.
Okay.
And then three of our tanning salons opened, I believe, on Friday or Saturday. So
because
we are almost, but one of ours
those,
is still closed.
By the way, it's impossible not to practice social distancing in those
in the
locations.
Tanning salons,
and in a gym.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, unless you're not wiping down your equipment. But.
Right. And then, you know, also another point, which I find interesting, my husband and I have talked about this multiple times, is that they shut all these businesses down for 2 months around. And then they said, okay, now you may open back up, but here's all the things you need to do safely, right? That requires those businesses to now spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars more on different staff, extra hours, cleaning staff,
because you
PPE,
can't have everybody in the, at the same time.
Extra
you have to
cleaning
stagger,
supplies. Yeah. Yes, you just shut us down for 2 months. You cost us money. We're in debt now. Thank you very much because we couldn't earn our living. And now you're asking us to spend hundreds of dollars more per business with a business that's barely surviving as it is.
Right.
To to open safely according to your standards, which we are now finding out that the standards are based on the CDC, and the CDC is releasing different information every week.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's almost like they're intentionally trying to put small businesses out. So there is an agenda there.
Oh, absolutely.
It's devastating.
I think it is. There is a mixture of ignorance and malice there that, they see the defiance and they say, oh, no, you're not going to defy us. But then they also are ignorant of the effects of what's happening in your salon.
Right. And it's because small business owners have proven to be independent thinkers. Mm-hmm. We can sit down and we can analyze an industry and say, I can succeed in that industry. So it's like we use our brains, right. And that's what they don't want, is people using their brains and not being sheep and just following along with the orders.
Yeah.
Because as you can tell, it's the independent business owners that have stood up and said, we will not tolerate this.
And maybe the most insulting thing about this whole thing is determining what an essential business is and what is not essential.
Right.
I mean,
that's an opinion. That is an opinion.
Well, it's an opinion based not in fact, because for the employees and even for the business owners, that revenue stream is essential.
Of course.
So
absolutely.
Saying that you don't provide an essential service to society is a false narrative.
Yep, exactly. Every job is essential.
Yeah.
Not because of what we do or how we do it, but because it's how we make our living.
That's right. And making a living is kind
quote.
Of important. Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. Making a living is kind of important because, we need money to create an economy.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah. All right. Well, Lindsey Graham, thanks so much. We're at the end of our half hour here, so I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And I will have this up shortly.
Okay.
So, thanks so much for your time. And
thank you.
Thanks for fighting the good fight.
I'm trying. Thank
right.
you.
If you like this podcast, the best way you can support it is by leaving a rating and subscribing. And don't forget to buy my book, Behind the Curtain, Inside the Network of Progressive Billionaires and Their Campaign to Undermine Democracy. Now it's on to my second segment. Hey, everybody. I just wanted to give a quick update on everything that I've been involved in. It's been a crazy, crazy time under quarantine. Our routines have been thrown so out of whack, and it's been so difficult to figure out even what day it is, never mind what we're doing and how to proceed. So one of the good things I've been blessed with is quite a few opportunities to produce content and to do radio hits and to do all kinds of as much content as I possibly can. And that was one of the goals that I had going into 2020. That was my New Year's resolution, was to produce a heck of a lot more content. And so far, the opportunities have been crazy. So wanted to give a quick shout to Denise Quinn, who had me on 1430 KYKN yesterday, Wednesday the 27th. And also last Friday, my good friend Shelby Gallagher had me on the Open Forum program in Northern Colorado on 1360 KHCN, which is a great forum. And so I had an hour long each with those two radio hits, and that was a heck of a lot of fun. So always enjoy doing those. And that was two good hosts, and we have a lot of banter going on, so it's always great. So check those out. I put those up at my Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Jeff Reynolds Author. And you can check out all of my radio hits there that I post, and then also the articles that I put up there. Want to give another quick update. I'm also on the Oregon Republican Party Executive Committee, and I've been involved in a couple of virtual projects that we've been doing for the party to kind of get out there and reach our constituency while we're all locked in place and locked down and quarantined and unable to move. We can't have big events or big meetings like we used to. So we've decided to go the webinar route. We've been using Zoom to hold webinars for several different things. One is a great fundraiser that we're doing. It's called Inside Scoop. And we've been able to have some great speakers and authors and activists on to talk about how to get involved and how to turn things around in Oregon. And so we've had, in the past couple of weeks, we had Steve Yates, who's an expert on China, and he talked all things China with us. That was a very popular one. We had Kevin Mannix come on and talk about the lawsuit he's filed on behalf of the churches in Oregon that were ordered to close and not allowed to reopen. So that was very informative. We had Bill Currier, Chris Barreto, and Solomon Yu talking about the effort to recall Kate Brown, and then how we can win Oregon for Donald Trump. And then this week, we're going to have Kim Thatcher. That's actually tonight. Kim Thatcher won the Republican nomination for the Secretary of State, and she's going to tell us her path to victory. She takes questions. And that's the great thing about these webinars that we do, is that we can take questions from the audience. Like I said, the Inside Scoop is a fundraiser that we're doing. It's only $5 per episode. So if you go to oregon.gop/InsideScoop, you can sign up for that. You can also sign up for a subscription for all of them. So it's a great way to stay connected with the party, even though we're still locked down and we're still not able to get back to normal and have our big meetings like we do with the party normally. It's a way for us to raise a little bit of money and also connect with all of our activists and constituents. So it's been a lot of fun. The other thing we're doing is a free service. It's on Facebook Live every day. It's called Captive Audience. And myself and David Darnell and Kevin Hoare and Sonny Danforth, we rotate and we take on the issues of the day. So it's a half hour, quick hitting, fast program that we do on Facebook Live every day at 6 o'clock. It's also on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday at 4 o'clock. So check that out. Go to the Oregon Republican Party Facebook page and you can get signed up there to watch us on a daily basis. We go live every day and we have a lot of fun with it. So like I said, you know, I've been exploring a whole bunch of different venues and avenues to create content. I've been writing up a storm at PJ Media. So you should definitely check that out as well. You go to pjmedia.com/columnist/Jeff-Reynolds. It's a little bit complicated, but that's where all of my columns are. And I've had the opportunity to write about Alex Skarlatos, who won the GOP congressional nomination for Congressional District 4 in Oregon. I've written a couple of columns on where our leaders have failed us and what they should have been doing. There's all kinds of content there. You got a lot of attention on my article about vote by mail in Oregon just recently. There's a really good article that I wrote that I really enjoyed doing this. A former contributor at PJTV, Chris Burgard, made a country song and video that talks about people emerging from their houses and rejecting fear and living their lives. It's a really inspirational video, so you should check that out. So there's a lot of stuff going on. It's all at my Facebook page. It's also at jeffreyreynolds.net, or you go to the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/jeffreynoldsauthor, and all of my content is there. It's also on the website, and I'll be firing up the newsletter very soon here, so stay tuned on that. Wanted to, again, give you just a quick update of what's going on, and there's so much content out there. There's so much news to react to, and that's really why I want to do this, is there's just so much to talk about and so much news to analyze, digest, figure out what direction we need to go in all of these different areas. So check out everything that I'm doing at facebook.com/JeffReynoldsAuthor, and I'll see you there. Thanks for checking out the Behind the Curtain podcast. I want to thank my buddy Brian Futch for providing me the theme song, I Am America, produced by Cass Anawati. Join us again next time for another episode of Behind the Curtain with Jeff Reynolds.
Sailed here from across the ocean with nothing else but his dream for a better life. His folks over there shook their heads at such a crazy notion, but deep down in his heart he knew he was right. Cleared the way for you and me. You can still hear his spirit sing. I am America. This land is my land, America. I know one day after I'm gone, someone will carry this dream along. What makes this country so strong? I am America.
the others. He fought for the cause with great devotion. And just like his daddy, he led the way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. His stories have faded with his years, but his eyes say it loud and clear. America.